Cold War history. American and Soviet espionage activities during the Cold War. The history of the emergency Cold War bunker designed for Congress during a nuclear war. Written by Timothy Hoskins. Chapter 1, Clash of Ideologies. Confetti rained down on Broadway, a blizzard of red, white, and blue. Cars honked, a chaotic symphony drowning out the joyful shouts. From the window of the Algonquin Hotel, a weary but exhilarated Eleanor Roosevelt watched the throngs below. The war was over. Victory. But the champagne tasted like ash in her mouth. Across the ocean, a different kind of celebration unfolded. Red banners snapped in the crisp Moscow air, a sea of faces illuminated by flickering bonfires. Joseph Stalin, his face a mask of controlled emotion, observed the festivities from the Kremlin. The cheers were deafening, yet a chilling silence seemed to linger beneath the surface. He raised his glass, a silent toast to a victory hard won and a future far from certain. In Washington, President Truman paced his office, the celebratory atmosphere a stark contrast to the turmoil within. He stared at a map of Europe, a patchwork of shifting alliances. The war had ended, but the struggle for global dominance had just begun. He rubbed his temples, the weight of the world pressing down. The Soviets, their influence expanding like a wildfire, were a constant threat. A telegram arrived, its crisp paper a stark white against the mahogany desk. Truman read it, his jaw tightening. The British were worried. The French, too. Everyone was worried. The uneasy peace was a fragile thing, easily shattered. He picked up the phone, his voice tight. It was time to make some calls. The celebrations were over. The real work was just beginning. Truman's gaze drifted to a framed portrait of Adam Smith, the father of modern economics. The principles of free markets, of individual initiative, formed the bedrock of American capitalism. He'd grown up with it, lived it, believed in it. It was the engine of American prosperity, the very air the nation breathed. He thought of bustling factories, the entrepreneurial spirit, the relentless pursuit of innovation. This was the system that had won the war, hadn't it? A chill ran down his spine. Across the Atlantic, a different philosophy held sway. He picked up a worn copy of Das Kapital, its pages brittle with age. Karl Marx's ghost seemed to loom from the pages, his theories of class struggle and revolutionary overthrow shaping the Soviet Union's communist ideology. Truman imagined the stark, regimented society Stalin had built, a stark contrast to the vibrant chaos of American life. He pictured the collective farms, the state-controlled industries, the suppression of individual expression. It was a system built on control, on the suppression of dissent, a chilling mirror image of American ideals. The contrast was stark. One nation championed individual liberty and free markets, the other centralized control and state-directed economies. The two systems, born from opposing philosophies, now stood poised on the brink of a new kind of war, a war of ideologies as much as of arms. The weight of this realization settled heavily on Truman's shoulders. He tapped his pen against the desk, the rhythmic sound a counterpoint to the silent battle raging within him. The future of the world hung in the balance. The air in the Livadia Palace was thick with cigar smoke and formality, a stark contrast to